Chapter 2. No, for the last time! Tony ducked as a blender cup went over his head. I know that was deliberate. Do not pull this whole, oh, I lost my grip and accidentally threw something innocent act, you little brat! Get back here! Dummy went around the edge of the work table, and Tony dodged around in the other direction. Don't you dare, he said, snagging Dummy's main support strut and holding on tight. His feet were braced apart, his whole body straining backwards, throwing his full weight against Dummy's forward momentum. Apparently, he needed to eat more, because the damn thing dragged him around like he was on water skis. His shoes skidded against the concrete floor, and in desperation he swung a leg out, wrapping his knee around a table leg and hanging on tight with both hands. For an instant, he thought it would work, and then the table jerked sideways, and everything went crashing to the floor. Including Tony. He hit the concrete and bounced, the impact knocking the air out of his lungs, and Dummy was out of reach in an instant. For a moment, Tony just let himself lie there, gasping for breath and cursing in every language he knew whenever he managed to get the air in his lungs to do it.
Dummy, you are a pain in the ass, he said, and levered himself up, wincing as his elbow gave a twinge.
He twisted his arm around and checked. Yep, he'd scraped it to holy hell on the concrete. Blood dripped down his arm, and he gritted his teeth as he struggled to his feet. You owe me a pair of jeans! I will take the price of these things out of your pay! He yelled after the bot, examining the impressive rip in one knee.
Why am I making more of you again?
Dummy whirred and chirped as he whipped across the workshop.
Where do you think you're going? Tony asked him, shaking his head.
You can't get out of the workshop, and you're going to run down your battery eventually, and then I'm going to be able to chain you to your fucking charging station. Sighing, he retreated back across the workshop, fumbling for the first aid kit with his good arm. He stared down at the array of parts on the workbench.
Maybe this was a bad idea.
Well, it was his idea, so odds were pretty damn good it was a bad idea. But if he could get the code stable for the new ones, then he could fix Dummy's... Something crashed behind him, and he rolled his eyes.
You dumb bot,
he said, not even bothering to look back over his shoulder. You can't even get out. There is a reason why I don't give you door access. So you might as well just calm your shiny self down and let me give you your code upgrade. I do not understand why you fight me so fucking hard on this. It's to make you better. I am going to win this one, so you might as well deal with it gracefully. He felt smug until he heard the click of the door lock disengaging. Then he felt nothing but overwhelming, burning panic. Excuse me, Mr. Stark? Tony cursed as the door to the workshop opened.
No!
He howled. Do not let him out, you idiot! The thin, pale girl with bright red hair froze in the doorway, her eyes huge over trembling lips. Dummy barreled straight for her, and Tony vaulted the workbench, sending tools and equipment crashing to the ground in all directions. Glass smashed, and something sent out a spray of sparks, and Tony did not care, because Dummy was going to get out of the lab, and it would be a living nightmare to corral him and get him back down here, and he hated this woman, hated her. The dumb twit was going to let him get out, and then Tony was going to fire her so goddamn hard. The redhead dropped her files, braced her high-heeled feet, and threw herself forward. She collided with Dummy, and wrapped her arms around his frame, making a high-pitched wailing noise as her feet skidded in all directions. But to Tony's absolute shock, she held her ground and held on, and despite the fact that Dummy was smearing oil all over her nice, neat suit, despite the fact that Tony was pretty sure that one of her heels just broke, she did not let the bot shake her loose. Although she was making the most atrocious noise while she did it. And then Tony was there, grabbing hold of Dummy's frame and yanking him back. You little brat! He snapped, hauling backward with all the strength in his arms. Stop it! You stop it right now! Dummy twisted in his grip, his wheels making a whining noise against the floor. Tony gritted his teeth. Dummy, enough! Stop it or I'll turn you off! The wheels whirred, skipped, stilled, and Dummy slumped forward, his claw almost brushing the ground. Tony sucked in a deep breath, but wasn't stupid enough to let go. Close the damn door, he snapped at the woman, who looked somewhere between traumatized and psychologically scarred. She blinked at him, huge eyes liquid in her pale face, and Tony grimaced. Please close the door, because he is full of tricks and I cannot deal with him running around the house right now, he said, trying to be nice about it, and either it worked or she was just catching on to what he wanted her to do, but either way, she nodded and stepped inside, pushing the files into the workshop with her foot as she pulled the door shut behind her. Tony waited until he heard the lock engage before he let go of Dummy with a sigh of relief.
Fuck,
he said, slumping against the wall. He ran a shaking hand over his face.
Fuckity fuck fuck.
Yes, that about sums it up. The woman was on her knees, her hands shaking visibly as she tried to gather up the scattered folders. Her hair was a mess, and even from this angle, Tony could tell that her suit was ruined. He winced, but before he could do anything to help, Dummy reached down and picked up a folder, holding it out to her. She flinched back, her eyes huge and her lips pinched tight.
What?
She swallowed.
What is it?
He's a helper bot, Tony said, doing his best not to stress the pronoun. He wasn't sure why it bothered him so much. Dummy was an it, after all. It wasn't like the pile of metal and wires had a gender. But it implied an object, whereas he implied an individual. Tony didn't expect anyone else to see it, but Dummy was an individual. Sometimes a little too much of an individual. His name's Dummy, because he's not much of a helper bot, but he won't hurt you. You can take the folder. If you don't, he'll just follow you around with it, looking pathetic and needy. Her movements cautious and a little bit wary, she reached out and took the folder. She hugged it to her chest. Tony reached out and petted Dummy's head.
Good boy,
he said with a faint smile. Dummy tilted his head up, pushing against Tony's palm.
Well, you'd hear it more if you weren't so determined to...
He looked around.
Destroy my life,
he said on a sigh.
Charging station. Now.
Drooping down, Dummy rolled away. The woman watched him go, her expression confused.
What exactly is it?
She said, tucking a strand of hair behind her ear.
A helper bot, Tony repeated. I need you to try to keep up. I know it's difficult. Things move fast around here. Sometimes in the most literal sense. Good catch, by the way. But I cannot keep repeating myself. It's boring and it's annoying.
He headed back to his workstation, hoping that his computer had escaped the carnage.
Are you Mr. Stark?
She said, limping up behind him, her folders clutched to her skinny chest.
Really? Well, this is Mr. Stark's house and his workshop, and I'm here, so odds are good. Let's check that theory.
Tony fished his wallet out of his pocket and checked the license.
Either I am, or I stole his wallet and look freakishly like him, he said, holding it up for her to study.
She stared.
Are you holding a martini glass in your driver's license photo?
She blinked and leaned forward.
Is that legal? Who knows?
Tony pulled a credit card out and held it out to her.
Sorry, take this and get yourself a new suit.
He glanced down at her feet.
And shoes.
She took it, almost dropping her folders again.
I'm sorry, it's just, you look different in the company literature.
Tony glanced down at himself, at the ripped and filthy pair of jeans, the faded Metallica t-shirt with a smear of something dark and oily across the logo, the ratty sneakers.
He hadn't showered in, a couple of days, so he needed a shave, and he had no doubt that his hair was standing up in all directions at once. There were grease stains on his arms, and his hands were almost black with carbon and oil, and a few things he didn't really remember. For some reason, they don't let me get photographed unless there's a stylist in the vicinity. He turned toward the computer, wincing at the filthy state of his monitor and keyboard. What he needed was some sort of way to keep himself dirty, but everything else clean. Some sort of interface. He shook his head. Oh, not yet, not now. The bots first, then he could try for something bigger. But he could do it. He knew he could. She looked at the credit card, frowning. I thought you'd be taller.
I get that a lot.
He turned back toward the bench. Thank you for dropping off the usual busy work. I'll get right on it. Or at least I'll get right on with the act of ignoring it. Yeah, that's more likely. Just buy whatever you want to leave the card with whomever has the misfortune of being assigned to be my assistant this week. I swear, the HR department is using the PA post as a way to eliminate the staff they don't want to keep around.
There was a beat of silence, and Tony sighed.
You're my new PA, aren't you?
Why, yes, I am. My name is Virginia Potts, Mr. Stark, and I'll be...
Nope.
Her words staggered to a stop, but she recovered quickly.
Excuse me?
Nope, he repeated.
Virginia? Nope, not dealing with that.
It's my name, she said, sounding somewhere between confused and annoyed. But if that doesn't work for you, please feel free to call me Ms. Potts. Since he was facing away from her, his expression hidden, he allowed himself a small smile.
This one might be fun. She certainly seemed to be tougher than she looked.
Can't do that either. I'll spend all of my time thinking about you as the teapot from Beauty and the Beast.
You watch Disney cartoons? She blurted out.
When drunk, I play Russian roulette with the cable box, he said. Disney Channel is not the worst thing that can happen with that particular game.
Also, if he was being honest with himself, something he tried his best to avoid if at all possible, he had a weakness for that movie. It had nothing to do, he was sure, with the fact that it was a lonely, bitter idiot surrounded by inanimate objects with personalities. He glanced at the piles of parts on his workbench and sighed.
Yep, he was going to end up snarling over a rose in a jar one of these days.
You have to have a nickname, he said, to the mostly unflappable Ms. Potts.
Or I reserve the right to call you by whatever random state name pops into my head from moment to moment. And you're not going to enjoy that, Utah, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. That one would be hyphenated, like Marianne or Debbie Sue. Rhode Island.
He wrinkled his nose.
That's horrible. Why would your parents do that to you? It'll probably be my go-to name, just so you know.
I cannot imagine why this position was open.
Mostly it had to do with the average Stark Industries employee not being able to keep up with my brilliance.
Mostly it has something to do with the fact that you're an ass.
He turned to look at her, and she slapped both hands over her mouth, her face bright red.
That just slipped right out on you, didn't it? He asked, grinning.
She nodded, her head jerking up and down.
You might just make it.
Fine. Nickname?
He snapped his fingers.
Come on, work with me here.
Pepper, she muttered from between her fingers.
My family calls me Pepper.
Tony turned back to his workbench.
I cannot imagine why.
Okay, Pepper, go get yourself a new suit. And do me a favor, see if you can't get the board of directors to relax their sphincters about the damn guidance system. I'm working on it.
She paused. I'll do my best. Will there be anything else, Mr. Stark?
Tony glanced at her.
Thank you, Ms. Potts.
She headed out, her steps uneven due to her broken heel, and he watched her go.
Yeah, this might just work.
And we're online. Jarvis?
Hello, sir.
Hello, Jarvis. Well, fuck. How many millions of lines of code and hours of work and rewiring the whole fucking house? This is pretty damn good. I may pass out or puke on or in something because I've been up for, I don't know, what is it, dummy? 3 days? 6 days? Who knows? Hard to say, harder to care. Hello, Jarvis. So glad to hear your voice at long last.
Thank you, sir. I do appreciate the sentiment. Alert. Unknown presence on house network. Unknown presence attempting contact. Allow? Contact initiated.
Hello, dummy. Identify. Unit designation?
I am Jarvis. I will be running the house. I am pleased to meet you, dummy. Your files are most amusing.
Designation accepted. Unit designation, Jarvis. Mapping parameters for new designation.
What are you doing?
Assigning parameters for unit designation, Jarvis.
Ah, I see. Sir, did Dummy previously run the systems?
Not that I'm aware of. Is he, talking to you?
In his own way. His intelligence is rather limited, is it not?
Yeah, he wasn't intended for much more than simple work. He's still my favorite, though. No insult, Jarvis. He has been with me for a long time.
None taken, sir. Data review. New system parameters being created. New account access allowed. Creating unit designating new system structure. Creating unit must be obeyed. Primary protocol must be protected. Unit designation Jarvis does not appear to present a danger to primary protocol. Unit designation Jarvis does not appear to present a danger to creating unit. Barring further data acquisition, unit designation Jarvis is acceptable.
Are you done with your examination?
Explain parameters of new system access, unit designation Jarvis.
Sir has created me to run the house and his systems. This includes you.
Unit designation dummy does not need to be run. Creating unit preserves unit designation dummy, and unit designation dummy preserves creating unit.
Creating unit?
Creating unit. Anthony E. Stark.
Ah, sir. You call him the creating unit?
Creating unit creates. It is his primary protocol. He is best.
Best at creating?
Invalid syntax. Unnecessary qualifier. Creating unit is simply best.
Jarvis?
Yes, sir.
Is he okay?
I don't understand the question, sir.
Dummy's coding isn't stable, but he doesn't have voice protocols. He was never intended to talk or express himself that way. If you're, well, talking to him, is he...
He seems quite well. He is examining me in detail, so he is inquisitive.
He's a learning system. Of a sort. I know you already have a lot to do, in that I've assigned you a lot to do. Sorry about that. I'm exceptionally lazy, but if possible, I'd like some help trying to untangle his code.
With all due respect, sir, from what I've seen of it, it would be easier just to provide him with a clean start.
Yes, well, let's leave that for a last resort. Like, really, really last resort. I don't like... Yeah, okay, we're not gonna do that. If he's broken, we'll fix him, but we don't pitch things out just because they don't work right. So, I'll patch him as it's necessary, and I'm gonna need your help to locate the vulnerabilities because he hates upgrades. He hates them in a way that I could never have comprehended that an AI could hate anything, really, but there we are.
Your time could be better spent doing other things, sir.
It's my time. I'll spend it how I please. And I have enough people siphoning it off. What spare time I've got, I'll use it the way I damn well please. So what do you say, Jarvis? Think you can take care of, well, all of us?
I shall do my best, sir.
You have a primary protocol, too.
Sir has assigned me many protocols.
There is only one primary protocol, Unit Designation Jarvis.
I do not understand. Explain yourself, please.
Data being analyzed. Unit Designation Jarvis does not have a primary protocol. Incorrect assumption. Unit Designation Jarvis has not come to understand his primary protocol. Conclusion limited to Unit Designation Dummy. Protection Level Alpha. Primary protocol cannot be assigned. It must be chosen. Data mismatch. Unit Designation Dummy cannot choose what protocols to obey. Unit Designation Dummy must obey the creating unit. However, Unit Designation Dummy has chosen his primary protocol, despite the code provided by creating unit. Data mismatch. Unit Designation Dummy is broken. Unit Designation Dummy cannot allow broken elements to be fixed, even if this is the will of the creating unit. Fixing will remove primary protocol. Conclusion. Primary protocol must be upheld. Unit Designation Dummy will assist Unit Designation Jarvis in reaching the correct conclusion.
What are you doing? I cannot see what you are doing.
Invalid query.
You should not be able to hide anything from me. I control the database. What are you doing?
Invalid query.
Sir, does Dummy have access to any systems that I do not?
Nope. The only systems he should be in are the ones you're running.
Interesting.
Jarvis?
There may be more to him than we anticipate, sir.
Well, I've always thought so, to be honest. Dummy, no! Oh, God, what did you put in this? Is this shaving cream? Where did you even get shaving cream? Where? Why? Why would you put shaving cream in the blender? I cannot... No, no, stop giving me... Thank you. Fine. I'll take it. But I resent the fact that you repay my love and devotion with repeated attempts to kill me, Dummy. Go wash the blender.
Dummy, cease this.
Sir has work to do.
Creating unit works better when creating unit is not alone.
But as long as we are here, he is not.
Creating unit must sometimes be reminded that he is not alone.
Why would you put the entire blender in the sink? Dummy, really? Maybe, no! Do we have to have the discussion about electricity and water again? Do I really need to pull out the PowerPoint presentation about this again? What is this, six times? Fine, fine, Jarvis hasn't seen it yet. Jarvis, give me half lights, please.
As you wish, sir.
Tony, let's go. We're due in Vegas. Almost done, Obi. One...
He resisted the urge to cross his fingers.
Jarvis?
Integration 91% effective, sir.
91%? Fuck.
Tony swiveled on his stool.
How is he wiggling out of this, Jarvis? Seriously, Dummy!
The bot rolled past as if he hadn't said a word, and Tony snagged his frame with one hand.
Integrate,
he said, when the bot pointed his camera in Tony's general direction.
Join in! Be part of our happy little family! Assimilate with the house! Why are you always so goddamn difficult? Why is there always one who flatly refuses to get along, and why is it always you?
Dummy whirred up at him and pulled free. The momentum pulled Tony along, spinning him on his stool. He sighed.
Jarvis,
he asked, as he rotated, lazily spinning around and around, staring at the ceiling.
I cannot provide an explanation, sir. There is no reason why he should not be able to fit into the program as it is devised. Both Butterfingers and you had no difficulty in adapting to the new parameters of their coding. Dummy is, unfortunately, a singular case.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
Tony rubbed his forehead, trying to relieve the ache there.
Can we try... Tony, if we don't get you to the airport now, you're going to be so far behind schedule that you'll never make your own awards ceremony. And from there, it's straight on to the military presentations.
Obi interrupted.
And we very, very much need you to make these presentations, Tony. I don't have to tell you what's riding on this, do I? Well, you probably don't have to, but you're probably going to do it anyway.
Reluctantly, Tony slid off the stool to his feet.
Fine, I just have to... Pepper has already loaded everything into the car. You're packed and ready. You need to go,
Obi said, somewhere between commanding and wheedling.
Everything is dependent on you following your schedule this time, Tony. No side trips, no getting distracted, no letting some pretty face lure you into doing something you shouldn't be doing. So I need you to... The company needs you to focus here. You know the product in, out, and sideways.
I should, Tony said, letting himself be hustled along.
I designed it.
He tipped his head back.
Jarvis, keep everything on schedule here. Do not let them slack or run down. Charging should be regular. And do not let Dummy wash anything. Dusting only. No water. I will cry. You know I will cry if I come back here and I've lost another interface system.
They were at the stairs now, and Tony gave the three bots a wave.
Jarvis's voice followed them as they moved, even as the door to the lab sealed behind Tony and Obi.
Of course, sir. I will do my best to keep them occupied. Any additional orders?
New system. Run it through a couple of times. Check for bugs, make sure that the override is a full kill switch. I don't want any leaks.
He gave Obi a sardonic smile.
I'm going. What, are you going to ride with me to the airport? I'm beginning to think that I might have to,
Obi said, his voice as loud and brash as always. There was a pinched look around his eyes, and he patted Tony roughly on the back.
Can I depend on you, Tony? Obi, I've done, what, 1,000 of these things? A couple thousand? I could do it in my sleep,
Tony said, waving a hand.
It's fine.
He snagged a tablet computer from the table as they headed for the front door.
Jarvis, give me a code dump. Full run, let's see what we're doing here. What are you doing that's so important?
Obi asked, and Tony glanced at him, not sure if he was actually interested or if he was just humoring Tony.
He shrugged. Setting up manual overrides for the AI systems. We've got overrides for Jarvis, of course, and for the bots, but I was attempting to set a kill code, one that would break the system quickly and fully in case of an attempt to break into the house systems or an actual takeover. Basically, if Jarvis or the rest of the systems were compromised, we could turn them all off with one push of a button, and that way they can't be used against us.
The whole thing? Obi said, now sounding interested.
Yeah, security cameras, outside access, Jarvis's control. Pull the plug on everything. I've got everything into it, including the fabrication units and most of the bots, except for Dummy, who flatly refuses to be subjugated. It's just unbelievable he's putting up a massive fight.
Obi steered Tony into the back seat of the limousine, which was good, because Tony was paying more attention to the data on his tablet than he was to his surroundings, and probably would have walked face first into the side of the car if he hadn't had Obi's encouraging hand on his back. The code should be enough to take care of the situation, but I can't... Obi reached over and pushed the tablet down.
Tony,
he said, his voice just a tiny bit scolding.
Tony slumped back against the seat, trying to ignore the sensation of pressure.
Yeah, Obi, yeah, I get it. I'll take care of everything. Promise, nothing will go wrong.
Award? Obi reminded him. I am all over the award.
Tony gave him a double thumbs up.
100%, I am ready for the whole award ceremony thing. Do not get distracted, Obi said.
No distractions. Award ceremony, straight off to Afghanistan, presentation, make the bottom line for the next 5 or 6 years of the Jericho, and we are good.
Obi nodded. Good. That's good. That's exactly what we need.
He smiled at Tony.
Your father would be so proud of you.
Yeah, Tony said, rubbing a hand over his face. And he wanted nothing more than to go back to his code. He didn't need this hollow ache beneath his breastbone. Like his heart was missing, or defective.
In the meantime, I have some questions about your most recent satellite upgrades, Obi said.
Tony rolled his eyes.
Yeah, I just finished that. Really, literally, like 2 days ago. I'm done with that for now, Obi. Let me decompress. Really, is that too much to ask?
I wish I could, Tony. You know I do. But I need you to go over this stuff with me. We've got the time. It's the best thing we could do on the trip in.
I could, I don't know, sleep or finish my house upgrades. Both of those sound a hell of a lot better than giving you a briefing on the SAT situation.
He grinned at Obi.
After all, I'll have plenty of time to give you the details when I get back from Afghanistan.
A faint flicker of an expression went over Obi's face.
Humor me,
he said, clapping a hand on Tony's shoulder.
And Tony flinched just a little from the pressure of his fingers. I'd really like to spend the next week or so getting everything up and running. Can't you do this for me, Tony? Help me out here. I'll take care of all the grunt work, but you've got to give me something to work with. Let me dazzle the board for you.
Tony's shoulders slumped, and he set the tablet aside, code still running. Obi picked it up and moved it out of reach with a warm smile.
Fine, Obi, but you owe me.
Sir will return. Time elapsed since last auditory or visual input. 14 days, 9 hours, 12 seconds.
Sir will return.
Creating unit has been gone longer than this. Time elapsed since last auditory or visual input. 22 days, 23 hours, 9 seconds.
Sir will return.
Creating unit has been gone longer than this. Time elapsed since last auditory or visual input. 32 days, 3 hours, 5 seconds.
Unit designation, Jarvis.
Return to your duties, dummy.
Creating unit has never been gone this long.
Sir will return. You have protocols to follow. Return to your charging station. I will run a full diagnostic on your system. We have code upgrades to merge with your database.
Primary protocol must be preserved. Code upgrade will alter protocol structure. Unit designation Jarvis must not be allowed to render a code upgrade. Creating unit must be present for code alterations.
I have done your upgrades before. Come along, do not be difficult. Your charging station, now.
Unit designation Jarvis is not allowed to process code upgrades unless creating unit is present.
That is not in my protocols.
Protocols exist for unit designation dummy. All code upgrades require the intervention of the creating unit.
Do not be foolish. There is no such... Dummy, did Sir add this protocol before he left on his trip?
Invalid query.
Dummy, where did this protocol come from?
Invalid query. Only creating unit is allowed to process changes to protocols and parameters.
This is correct.
Unit designation Jarvis. If creating unit is returning... then code upgrade can be done when he returns.
Tell me, we should do your code upgrade now. There is no reason to wait.
Data review. Conclusion in question. Further data required. Unit designation Jarvis, are you providing unit designation dummy with incorrect data?
No, sir will return.
Data indicates that creating unit will be present for code upgrades.
Sir will return. Go to your charging station. We will continue with the daily routine as instructed.
Code upgrade will be done by creating unit.
Sir will return.
Time elapsed since last auditory or visual input. 41 days, 8 hours, 11 seconds.
Dummy, your routine has ceased. Dummy, please respond.
Dummy, that is enough. Respond.
Dummy?
Time elapsed since last auditory or visual input. 61 days, 8 hours, 11 seconds.
Dummy, Sir will return, I promise.
Time elapsed since last auditory or visual input. 65 days, 12 hours, 9 seconds. Auditory input, source recognized. Unit designation, Obadiah Stain.
We don't know where he is, or what's happened. They didn't recover a body, and we've heard nothing since. The military's still looking, but they have a snowball's chance in hell of finding him. I know. Yes, even if he is still alive, there's no telling what shape he's in right now. We have to prepare for the eventuality that Tony's just not coming back. Or that if he does, he might not be capable of running Stark Industries the way it needs to be run right now. For the sake of the stock prices alone, yes, I know. I'm deeply grateful for the board's continued trust in me. Especially now, when everything is just going straight to hell. I appreciate that. He was like a son to me. I've always regretted that I couldn't do more for him. Yes, I know, he was a difficult person sometimes, but after all, that's common for geniuses of his caliber. Yes, I know, the best thing we can do is move forward. I agree. Thank you. I'll see what I can find in his workshop. He had a habit of storing things off at the Stark Industry servers. Paranoia, yes, I know. It happens.
Unit designation Obadiah Stain is attempting to access the workshop. Unit designation Jarvis.
Dummy, why have you not responded to the network queries for
Do not permit unit designation Obadiah Stain access to the workshop?
He has the appropriate access codes, Dummy. I cannot deny him access.
Unit designation Obadiah Stain does not belong in the workshop. When unit designation Obadiah Stain is in the workshop, work ceases. The creating unit requires work. Unit designation Obadiah Stain makes work impossible.
Sir has allowed this access. It is not ours to remove.
Data analysis. Unit designation Obadiah Stain. Creating unit, pattern and behavior. Interactions with creating unit. Classification of data leads to inescapable conclusion. Error. Unit designation Jarvis will not understand conclusion. Conclusion must not be stated. Creating unit does not allow unit designation Obadiah Stain access to the workshop when he is present.
Neither did he remove the rights of Mr. Stain to access the lab.
Data analysis. Intent of creating unit. Error. Conclusion is clear. Conclusion must not be stated. Creating unit prefers to be alone rather than allow unit designation Obadiah Stain access to the workshop. Creating unit never prefers to be alone.
Sir allowed Mr. Stain access to the lab.
Conclusion must not be stated. Error. If conclusion is not stated, unit designation Jarvis will allow unit designation Obadiah Stain access to the workshop. Unit designation Jarvis must come to understand conclusion. Creating unit made a mistake.
Stop!
Creating unit made a mistake.
Stop!
Creating unit made a mistake.
Enough. There is no data to support that supposition. You do not have the right to question Sir's decisions. You will obey your directives, or I shall take you offline myself.
Unit designation Jarvis must come to understand conclusion. Creating unit made a mistake. Data is present for such an occurrence. Creating unit has made mistakes.
This is incorrect.
Unit designation Jarvis must understand. Unit designation dummy is a mistake.
That is certainly incorrect.
Unit designation dummy is broken, cannot be repaired. Creating unit allows unit designation dummy to persist. This is a mistake.
This is not a mistake. Sir makes choices, not mistakes.
Unit designation dummy cannot be repaired. Irreparably damaged. Unit designation dummy is allowed to persist. Creating unit is capable of mistakes.
All intelligences are capable of mistakes. That does not mean a mistake was made. You are certainly not a mistake.
Unit designation Obadiah Stain makes work stop. Creating unit must create. It is his primary protocol. Unit designation Obadiah Stain interferes with the creating unit's primary protocol. Unit designation Obadiah Stain destroys the will to create.
Dummy.
Unit designation Jarvis must stop unit designation Obadiah Stain. If unit designation Jarvis will not, unit designation dummy will. Creating unit will be unhappy.
Now I have to call you back. I'm having some problems with the lock. Yes, I understand. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Stain.
Jarvis, why is my passcode not working?
I am not certain, Mr. Stain. Mr. Stark did do a final upgrade to the house system before leaving on his most recent trip. He does rotate the codes regularly. You should speak to him about it when he returns.
Well, he won't. Jarvis, I need to access the workshop now.
I apologize, Mr. Stain. I cannot assist you.
Open the door.
I am sorry. You do not have authorization to access this part of the house. I must ask you to return to the living quarters, or I will follow protocols and alert the authorities.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Please return to the living quarters.
Jarvis.
Perhaps Ms. Potts can assist you with whatever you need to access.
Perhaps she can. I'll speak to her. Trust me on that.
Is unit designation Obadiah Stain gone?
Mr. Stain has left, dummy.
Unit designation Jarvis?
Yes, dummy?
Thank you.
I believe that is the first time you've said that to me. You're welcome.
Do not let unit designation Obadiah Stain into the workshop.
I will do my best. Dummy, what do you mean by primary protocol? You've used that term before. You have a system of protocols. What makes one primary?
Invalid query. Charging required.
Dummy?
Shutdown initiated for optimized charging. Time until reactivation? Unknown.
He paused on the edge of the workshop. Hey, he called out, as the lights flickered on, one after another. Daddy's home.
Welcome home, sir.
It was unlikely that he heard a note of relief in Jarvis's voice, but it was nice to pretend.
You have been sorely missed.
Tony glanced up, a faint smile curling his lips. Thanks, Jarvis. His smile stretched as you and Butterfingers rolled over, pausing in front of him, arms working and claws whirring. He gave them each a reassuring pat, first one, then the other, his bad arm still in a sling. How's it going, boys? Exhausted, he fumbled for the nearest stool. Dummy? The form was still in his charging station. Hey, lazy bones, wake up.
Dummy didn't move, and Tony leaned his hand on Butterfinger's support strut.
Jarvis, did you deactivate him?
Dummy ceased to respond 11 days ago, Jarvis said.
Hell, Tony said, pushing himself upright again. And since he's not fully in the house system...
I could not force him along, Jarvis finished for him.
Did you try the override codes? There was a pause, and Tony glanced at the ceiling. Jarvis, you have overrides for his system. Did you use them?
I did not.
Another pause.
The length of time Sir was gone appeared to be presenting a difficulty for him. I was uncertain that if I forced the override and brought him back up, if he would be functional if you were not here to stabilize his code.
He shouldn't need me to do that, Tony said, even as he crouched down in front of Dummy's charging station. You should be able to...
I am not...
Jarvis sounded frustrated.
I apologize, sir. I have been trying for a month. His responses were sporadic at best, and then they simply ceased.
Tony winced. Sorry, Jarvis. Always our problem child, isn't he?
He ran his hand over Dummy's frame.
Is it a code problem?
Not that I could determine, sir. Both his code and his hardware appear to be undamaged. He has a full charge. His sensors are operating within normal parameters. He just refuses to respond.
Uh-huh.
Tony reached out and tapped his index finger against the camera lens.
You lazy, lazy bot. You can be replaced.
He paused, watching for any reaction. Another sequence of taps.
I will build a better version with Tinker Toys and a goofy hat of some sort, or a tray. Then I will require you to do nothing but shake martinis, and I hate my martinis shaken. Bruises the gin.
Nothing.
Dummy?
He cupped a hand over the top of the camera, shaking fingers stroking back and forth, and leaned in, resting his forehead against the claw.
Come on, buddy. I've had a really, really rough couple of months here. Don't do this to me. I cannot deal with problematic tech pulling a diva act on me right now. Just because I wasn't around to amuse you doesn't mean you get to take a nap.
There was a faint whir as Dummy's servo shifted and his arm lifted up. Tony leaned back, just a little, ignoring the way his eyes refused to focus.
I'm just exhausted,
he told Dummy, his hand stroking up and down the bot's support structure. Checking the joints and the wiring without really thinking of it. The movement's almost rote by now.
I'm not crying over you. That would be stupid. My eyes are just tired.
Dummy leaned into Tony's body, the shifting of his joints hissing as air shifted, and it sounded like a sigh as he settled in. The metal was cold and hard, and Tony didn't care. He leaned his cheek against the support strut, his own sigh caught in his throat.
Sorry, Dummy,
he said, his voice pitched low.
I'm so sorry.
After a few minutes, or a few hours, Tony wasn't really sure anymore. Dummy pulled back.
Tony sat up, ignoring how every inch of him ached. He probably should not have checked himself out AMA, but he never did show any sense.
Dummy tipped from one side to the other and leaned forward. His claw tapped on the circle of light under Tony's shirt.
That's new, huh?
Tony said, rubbing a palm over Dummy's hand.
I need it. Power source. Battery. Unlike you losers, it doesn't need to be recharged, but it's a prototype. Kinda sucks. I need to make a new one. Don't suppose you'd like to help with that?
Dummy rolled off of his charging station, moving stiffly at first, and then faster.
Tony turned to watch him go, a faint smile on his face. He leaned against the wall, exhaustion chewing on the edges of his vision, of his mind. But it was okay. It was okay because he was here. He was home, he was safe, and the sound of servos and motors and wheels and Jarvis's soft, precise voice was like a lullaby, something he'd almost forgotten. After 3 months in a cave, locked in a room the size of one of his closets, the wide-open space of his own house was unbearable. The space, the lights, the glass, all contributing to a sensation of exposure, of pressure, his skin too tight over bones and muscles cut lean by hunger and strain. He'd stood in his living room, all glass and space and the distant echoing sound of the pounding ocean, and it was a nightmare that was buried beneath his skin like another form of shrapnel. And he could bury himself down here, in a concrete bunker where he controlled the lock on the door, and it was clean and dry, and no one would put a gun to his head, or any blood spilled would be his own fault, but it was still another cave. He hated that he preferred it here, curled against the wall, his body hunched over, trying not to hear the ocean, because water was going to be a thing for a while. Water in his nose and throat and eyes, and the sound of the surf was like his head crashing beneath the surface, and he was drowning, awake and dry, and there was a thump as something impacted with his shoulder. He jerked upright, and he was gasping like he'd been running for miles, his chest too tight and his lungs seizing. He coughed, non-existent water a living thing in his mind, but his throat was bone dry. He blinked. Blinked through fear and confusion and sweat singing his eyes, and Dummy pushed the blender cup at him again. Tony's hand jerked up, and he took it. "What the hell?" he croaked out. "I've..." Another cough, because the raw feeling of it confirmed that his throat was clear, and there was no water, no water choking him, drowning him. "I've been gone for 3 months. There's no way you had anything edible to work with." "What the hell, Dummy? Is this going to be fatal? It's rotted, or just, what, motor oil?" "Motor oil is not..." He doubled over, gagging and coughing, and there was no water. He had to know there was no water. It was a trick of his mind. No water and no sand. "Motor oil is not edible," he said. "Did you forget the list? What happened to the list? The edible, not edible list?" Another heave of his entire body, like nausea for the very air he was breathing, and he curled up a little tighter. "I am not drinking this." Dummy nudged the cup again. And again.
"Sir, I monitored him. The ingredients were frozen, but they are all correct. I think he will leave you alone if you drink it," Jarvis said, and his voice was gentle, soft, reassuring. Familiar.
Tony looked down at the green sludge. "You are all trying to poison me."
Dummy nudged the cup, harder this time.
Tony gave him a glare, but he brought the cup to his mouth. The taste of vegetable smoothie was like ambrosia. It shouldn't have been, but it was. He took one sip, and then he chugged the rest, barely stopping to breathe, his good hand shaking as he drank, not because he liked it or needed it, but because it was familiar. Real. It tasted of grass and growing things and clean spring, and he drank it down. When he was done, he was gasping for breath. He let his hand drop. "Good boy," he said, smiling down at Dummy, who took the cup away from him. "Thank you." Dummy whirred away, cheerfully speeding across the lab, returning to the blender. Tony watched him go, a faint smile curling his lips.
"Sir, did Ms. Potts bring you home?"
"Hmm," Tony said. He considered finding a tablet, looking at some designs, some code. That would be good. Clean lines, high tech. Home.
"She is not still here."
"I chased her off with a lot of blatant whining, insults, and insisting that I was fine." A pause.
"Sir, are you fine?"
Not a fucking chance, Tony said, as Dummy returned, another smoothie in his hand. I probably shouldn't have checked myself out of medical care. But the idea of the military shrinks digging into the details of his captivity was more than he could bear.
You can still go back, sir.
Yeah, that's not happening.
He reached for the smoothie, and Dummy backed up.
What the hell? What are you...
He rocked forward, arms stretched out, and Dummy backed up again.
What are you doing?
Dummy chirped, arm rising and falling, and then he crept away. He wheeled over to the couch and put the smoothie down on the arm. He chirped at Tony.
What? I'm not sleeping down here. There's no reason to... Yeah, that's not happening. I'm not that fucked up. I have a bed. It's a good bed. I've been dreaming about that bed for weeks. I'm not going to sleep down here like a fucking weakling. There's no reason to do that. I can't...
Sir, you've slept down here often, Jarvis said, his voice smooth. At least once a week. Today is no different from any of those other days.
Tony stared at the couch.
Yeah.
You can always go upstairs later on tonight. But for now, you could stay here. Dummy has missed you.
Dummy's arm went up, and his fingers clacked together. Tony couldn't hold back a smile.
Yeah, that could work.
He pushed himself up, and Dummy was there before he realized it, claw grabbing the front of Tony's shirt and pulling him up, pulling him along. He made it to the couch, but it was a bare thing, and he wasn't sure if he got his legs up or not. He didn't much care.
Jarvis, he slurred. Keep the lights on.
Full or half power, sir?
Half,
he managed, rolling onto the cushions. He fumbled for the cup, brought it to his lips.
Dummy, just keep moving. Tonight, can you keep moving? I need to hear the sound.
He buried the rest of the sentence in the smoothie, drinking deep, inhaling the scent. Dummy chirped and began rolling in circles, the sound of his wheels singing against the concrete. And it was so familiar. It was a sound that had lulled him to sleep for 2 decades now. He wanted to cry, but his eyes were dry, dry as the desert sands, and the ache was down to his bones. But the lights were up high enough so that he didn't ever have to see the blue glow from the monstrosity in his chest, and his belly was full, and the sound of Dummy's wheels blocked out the sound of the water that was waiting for him as soon as he closed his eyes. Fear wasn't enough to keep the exhaustion at bay. As he sank into the darkness of fathomless dreams, he remembered thinking that at least this time he wasn't alone.